Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sanders.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live. Pete Gray here, along with Wayne Cotto, is co-hosting with us today. Ricky's under the weather today, and we're going to have Corey in tomorrow. It'll be great. It's kind of a mixed bag, because while Ricky recovers from his family cold, that's going, it's, you know, if you're a family, you just share it, right? It's all about
sharing is caring.
Yeah, for sure. But great guest here, Adam Williams from the New Loan, co-owner and captain of the New Loan, along with Marcus Medak and a great other group of people on that boat. And boy, Adam brought in a phenomenal prize to give away to.
Boy, did he.
Lucky caller.
One lucky caller or texter is going to win a spot on a two-day trip on the New Loan on any of the open party trips in 2026. Yes. And as we go through this show, I'm sure people are up online going, filling those open party trips. So whoever wins this better get on right away. Go look up that trip and get it booked.
Yeah, and as a lot of our callers said, New Loan's always booked. I mean, you guys go out full all the time. So yep. If you want to get on the New Loan, get on it. Now would be a good time. And you have your whole schedule put up, right?
We do. So we got springtime trips up in April, mostly 2 days, a couple spots in May, and then I just put up a couple secret trips in October. But you got to scroll through the end of the schedule. Look at the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. So October. Woo. A great time.
Two-day open party trips.
Those will fill up quickly.
I'm hoping
October's
really
been
quickly.
Phenomenal so, the last few
and,
years.
And where do you access that schedule?
PointLomaSportFishing.com.
So. Okay. And just go down and pick the New Loan as the boat and then get to it and it'll tell
Scroll
you where.
Through. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, let's find out what's biting, Wayne. FishPro.com report.
Boy, we got the catch report sponsored by Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishmansprocessing.com and make your reservation today. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Wayne, Pete, Adam. What a great show, but I got to start off with a little sidebar from something Adam mentioned when they were talking about the New Loan being built in Surfside. Well, when I was a kid, and this is a long time ago, the Cruzon facility was about a half a mile from the marina that we had our family boat in. So I used to walk down there all the time, look at what they were building, and I remember them building some big boat. You know, it might have been theirs, who knows. And then right next to the Cruzon facility was this little cinder block building painted pink called the Pink Barrel. It was a little restaurant, hole in the wall, crotchety guy running the thing. And his burger, his main burger deal was a double or nothing burger. You go in there and flip for it, you either pay nothing or you pay double.
Wow.
Still remember eating them burgers. Yeah, you know, I thought it was a great idea.
How often did you win?
Yeah. You know, I don't remember winning. I remember losing.
It was a two-sided coin, maybe.
Yeah. But the burgers were great. I do remember that. Anyway, that's some ancient history for you for sure.
Really cool.
So it's been an interesting week for sure, guys. Starting to see some worthy signs here and there, and it's very early. The water temps, like you're talking and like we've been talking here for a couple weeks, still above normal. 61 was the only 61 I found looking at the buoys. This morning was outside Tanner and outside San Nick. Those buoys were 61, and everything else is 62 and 63, which is crazy for this time of year.
Yeah.
That's just it's a good sign of things to come. So, you know, we'll just have to see how that goes. And then another sign, my favorite sign, of course, is the white flowers on the dogwood trees. They're way ahead of schedule also. My benchmark tree, the flowers are already dropping, which usually happens in the middle of February. So they're way ahead. And then a real sign of early spring, I was listening to one of the sport boats talking about fishing bass on the horseshoe, and the bass fishing's been pretty darn good here local. And they're talking about catching calico bass on the plastic and having clouds of free swimming bass follow the hooked fish in. And that, again, that's more of a springtime thing. I mean, come on, this is, it's still January. So anyway.
I don't know whether it's up by you, but the Point Loma kelp, have you seen the Point Loma kelp? It is thick. It's thicker than it's been in years. It's pretty impressive.
It came back like it was supposed to.
Yeah, for sure. Is it the same up there, Mark?
You know, I haven't heard. I know the kelp along Palos Verdes is pretty healthy. It looks good. I haven't been to Catalina yet, although soon coming. Looks like we're just about done with all the boat work and get over there and start keeping that island on us. So we'll give you a kelp report here in another week or so. Locally, our halibut fishing, it's getting a bit better. No reports from Santa Monica Bay this week, but right out in front around the horseshoe on the hard bottom there on the horseshoe, seeing a little bit better fishing, more of the good ones showing up. And guys, for God's sakes, check your knots when you're tying your rigs up. I mean, it's just sinful to lose a big one right out of gaff range because you didn't check your knot and pull on it hard. I mean, come on. And over at the islands, not too much. Nothing worthy from Nick or Santa Barbara Island. Good bass fishing at Clemente for the bass guys. Fishing backside east for the most part there. No word on squid or exotics from Clemente. Catalina, it's getting to be that time, guys. Bit more sea bass showing up here. Some nice ones. And more halibut in shallow. And with the water 60 to 63 over at the island, and no storms on the horizon for, I think they said, like 12 days out, soon coming over Catalina, man, it's looking good. And then Pete.
Yeah.
Okay, this is for you.
Okay.
So I heard you talking earlier about your tropical wish list, hoping for yellowfin tuna and wahoo and such.
Yeah, yeah.
So last night on Channel 7 News, famous Dallas Rains, their weather guy, said El Nino for this fall. Not maybe. They're predicting it. And I've been watching the weather. You know, I pay a lot of attention to the in-depth stuff down there in the tropics where the, sure, you know, this all starts. And it's definitely been trending that way for several weeks. So, but man, when Dallas Rain says El Nino, you can just count on it. So you better get your Wahoo gear ready, buddy.
Yeah. No, it is quite different this year, so things could happen. You know, look at the weather in the northern. I mean, look at the weather on the East Coast. So cold, so bitter cold. And then you go up to places like Utah, Montana, and such like that. It's like it's been super warm up there. It's supposed to be 50 to 60 degrees.
I had a customer in the other day. He's got a house in Idaho, and he was saying exactly that. He said usually we're up to our butts and deep snow, and he says there's hardly anything, and it's been balmy, saying the same thing.
And yet
thing.
It got snow all the way down into Florida.
Yeah, crazy.
You know,
a weird year.
I just got a text from Danny, the main man of the Fish Dope, and they're predicting this, you know, next cold surge going down with lots of wind, rain, lots just terrifically cold temperatures. He said the coldest temperature ever forecast for the Florida Keys.
I was going to say they're down in Key West.
Yeah,
area.
The iguanas are going to be falling out of the trees.
They're going to be.
How crazy is that?
Well, it's 90 degrees in Orange County, right, Mark?
Yeah, I texted him back. I go, well, it's going to be 75 or 80 here today, which it has been. God,
sorry about that, Danny. So, fishdope.com, of course, always has the great stuff, and Mark gets all his information from Danny and the boys at fishdope.com. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. The store's right next to the big Chevron station there on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And the phone number is 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, guys, we got a week of fantastic weather and fish biting. I think we ought to go fishing.
Oh, time to go fishing. Going to be gorgeous weather. And take advantage of it while we can. Definitely, for sure.
Boy, for sure.
Yeah. Hey,
we'll see
Mark,
you guys.
Great job. Thanks a lot for that. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it.
All right.
We'll see you.
And with that, that catch report is sponsored by Gamakatsu. They have amazing lineup of fishing accessories now available. They got fillet knives for everyday carry knives, G-boxes, and bags to store your tackle, ceramic braid scissors, and more, along with the best fresh and saltwater hooks available. See your local dealer and check out Gamakatsu.com.
All right. You have a great text, huh, Wayne?
I do. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but, hey, we got Aaron. And he's asking, good morning, gentlemen. How many rods can I bring on one of the trips? What would be too many?
Hey, yo,
we all laughed.
We've all been there.
Is there such a thing?
I mean, I don't think you need any more than 8 for a 2-day trip.
Yeah.
But to each his own, I guess.
What's the most rods you've ever seen somebody coming on a boat with 8 for a 2-day trip?
I think 14.
14 rods and reels.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just for themselves, or were they a charter master?
No, just for themselves.
Just for themselves.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot of rods and reels. Well, you got to have all the tools, right?
You do.
If you have them in your garage, you might as well take them.
Not going to catch anything from the garage.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you have room on the boat for those?
If everyone brought 14, no. But
I don't think everybody's going to be.
No.
But so what you're saying is like 4 to 6 is like the perfect.
Four to six is good.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. I have another one here from AD in Spring Valley. He says, enjoying fishing with Captain Adam on the last trip of 2025. Adam, you showed me new ways to get my sardine to swim down fast. I got bit faster than ever, and thanks for putting my picture on the front of the magazine with my fish and a few buddies. I will be back. Love fishing on the new Lowen. Okay, what's the secret way to hook the bait? Makes it go down.
I don't know if I can tell you, Pete.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you have to go fishing on the new Lowen.
You do.
Yeah, that's the secret way.
Yep.
All right, all right. We'll leave it at that then. So the Amy knows the secret.
I think in any way but hooking them in the nose, I think.
Okay.
You can get them. Just
do something different. Collar hook.
Collar hook, butt shoulder hook.
Shoulder hook,
yep.
Yeah. What is your preferred way to hook a bait?
I'm usually shoulder hooking.
Shoulder hooking. Okay.
I kind of switch it back and forth a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. So my question is, I always have, one of the things I see and it's difficult is you don't want to hurt the sardine shoulder
right.
hooking. And it's easy to do when you're shoulder
it
hooking.
Is.
What's the best way to handle that sardine and shoulder hook? And where do you start that hook so you can get it under the scale?
I think very lightly.
Okay.
You don't want to mess up their scales. You know, you want to barely touch the bait as you're getting the hook in there. And then once you do, you let go of the bait. I see a lot of guys, they come up to the bait tank, and they're strangling this thing, trying to.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, throw that one over for good luck.
We'll
try a new one, yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's a good point. Get the hook in a thing and let it go.
Yes.
Let it dangle.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you approach it with your hook when you're collar hooking from underneath, or do you go over the top?
I'm usually holding the bait in my left hand, and I'm putting the hook in the top of the bait.
Top of the bait.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Like, so there was kind of no scales up there at the very top.
Yep.
Okay.
Right easy. Behind the...
A good tell is when you get done with your bait and your hand's full of scales, you didn't quite do it right.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's key.
Takes a little finesse.
Yeah.
Pretty
sure.
Funny.
So we got another text from Marissa in El Cajon. A question for Captain Adam. Can you talk about the best way to rig a knife jig for big bluefin tuna over 100? Hooks on the top, the bottom, size of the hooks, bite leader, straight tie, etc.
All right, so the last couple of years we've been doing a lot of, like, either fishing with a Wynon leader, 15 to 20 feet of 200-pound mono or fluoro. Kind of depends on what you got, but we've got a big spool of 200-pound we use on the boat. Either tie it on with the FG knot. Some of the crew guys could help with that if you're on one of the trips. But having that, like, 20-foot leader a lot of times helps you out, especially once we get to those last couple circles. If they're big fish, we can grab the line and kind of a little harder with straight Max Quattro or something like that.
Sure.
When you're trying to grab the line to help
yeah,
the
without any gloves.
Those last couple circles. Yeah. So we like fishing that like 20 to 25 of heavy mono.
Okay.
How much of an advantage, how much better are we fishing because we've learned to mark our spectra or have the colored spectra?
It's a complete game changer. I'd say that's a must when you're night fishing for bluefin. Also, too, I think using just two bottom hooks has been, like, the best, at least for nighttime fishing when they're biting especially. You only really need those two bottom hooks get less tangles, number one. You're not snagging fish in the side. Sometimes, you know, a guy will snag a 40-pounder in the gill plate with his top hook, and then we're sitting there for an hour waiting to get the thing in. So.
And it feels like a 100-pounder.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then the other thing is when you're putting those assist hooks on, is there too large of a hook on the assist hooks?
I like to use like a 5-0, I think is a good size 5-0 must add with a heavy ring, like one of those ultra owner rings.
Single hook? Good.
Two hooks.
Two hooks, okay.
Yep. Two assist hooks on the bottom is usually how we
on the bottom?
Yes.
Okay, not on the top?
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of captains and crews say don't put the two, one top, one bottom, because when it comes in, one, you could either foul hook, but the other one is you got swinging hooks when we're trying to bring the fish over.
And what about the treble hooks?
Not a big fan.
No,
personally, no.
Yeah, you've seen that too.
I like the two assist style hooks. Like I said, those must add fives are good. A lot of guys make their own hooks. Also, you know, if you buy jigs from the West Coast Jiggers guys or some of these other jig guys in town, a lot of them make their own hooks.
Yeah, and how long of a that's a lot of them come with longer leaders and such to the rings.
Some do. Kind of cool sometimes to maybe have one a little longer than the other.
Okay.
It's kind of personal preference.
Yeah. Yeah. But that makes sense.
Yep.
One different. Okay. Todd in Costa Mesa has a good text here. He sent in only a course available on the Let's Talk Hookup app. It says, New Luann, for somebody looking to book their first trip on the New Luann, what would you recommend to maximize success and enjoyment? When and what size of trip and such like that.
I think starting with a two-day trip is a good choice, and probably bring four different rods and various sizes, and the crew, you know, we can help you guys rig that up on the way out.
Yeah. I personally, from what I've seen in the past, May would be a really good month to book.
I think May is going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it.
The warm water. April, too. I mean, look at what Mark was just talking about, the water. 62 degrees all over the place. 61 outside.
Hoping for Big Eye and Albacore.
Man,
it's going to be a fight to see who can get off the dock first and go find them. That's going to be the test. So we got Gary from Huntington Beach wrote us. Good morning, guys. I had a question for Adam. To target the bigger bluefin tuna, is it better to use a smaller profile tungsten jig, or is it more effective to use the larger profile jigs and the HD350? In your experience, which would you use at nighttime jigging?
I think either or, honestly. I think it's more of a time and place reaction bite rather than jig color or jig type. A lot of times we see these guys getting bit pretty good on the torpedo sinker. So.
The Eddie Bomb?
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. How often do you see people just overthinking with their tackle?
Big time, big time. I've had guys with like a coffee can with a glow in the dark lights and all sorts of weird stuff. Yeah.
Too much, huh?
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Don't overthink it. I think having your line marked, like we were talking about, is probably one of the most important things so you know you're in the bite zone.
Yeah. And make sure it's vertical, not going out scoped.
Yep.
So
yep.
You're actually down in the zone, not getting away. Making sure that you're heavy enough to get down, but not too heavy where you're flying by them, right?
Also true. Yeah. You almost sometimes, especially if it's calm weather, a lot of times you're using the smallest jig you can get away with.
Yeah, very true.
Seems to.
Well, it depends, right? We had that little flux of anchovies in, so you're trying to match the bait that's in the water versus those big jigs going down. If you're going rock fishing, it doesn't really matter, right? They like those big jigs on the lings and all the big rockfish, no big deal. But it's been very interesting as you kind of watch your bait mix through. If we go back to the anchovies, those tungstens are going to come back and play, I believe. But it all depends on how deep they are, because you can use those smaller mega baits or Colt Sniper type jigs and get down there.
For sure, and I think it depends too how fast the boat's drifting, if it's windy, if there's current.
Yeah.
All that stuff kind of plays into jig size, and it's one of those things you gotta work at throughout the night. You gotta change it up. If you're fishing your jig and it looks like your fly line and a bait and need a heavier jig. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah. You got to start all over again.
Listen to the crew.
Yeah.
Ask the guys that are catching fish what they're doing different.
Right. That's key. Watch the guys that are catching fish.
Yep.
Say, what are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah. But most important, like you say, listen to the crew.
Oh, it's big time.
So I have a question. We talked about whales with Jim Hughes last week.
Right.
And how important are whales when you're out fishing to you to kind of find schools of fish?
You know, sometimes they can be very important, especially in that, like, July, August time when there's a lot of bait.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're fishing right next to whales and, like, in the same bait balls, and they're, you know, they'll be right next to the boat, sometimes crashing through. The last couple of years, we've seen fish on sei whales and sometimes on blue whales. Most of the time, those smaller baleen whales, like a sei whale or a finback, we've been seeing.
Wow.
But schools with them sometimes, not all the time.
Not all the time, but they're good indicators.
Can be.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Dan in Durango, Colorado has an interesting one here. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's a good text. Adam, I caught my first yellowtail and white sei bass in the early 70s at the Coronado Islands with Don Sansom was running the boat. Good old Don. Yeah, he used to run the New Lohan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He used to own it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The popular trip back then was early evening departure and nighttime fishing live squid on the dropper loop in the flats. Do you feel this type of trip at the islands could produce nighttime white sea bass when the squid is present locally? Can you advise on other boats in the fleet that were built by Cruzon? I believe the Coral Sea and the Patrician had the same builder.
I believe so, yeah. The Coral Sea, actually Captain Josh that works with us, he used to work over there, and he swears that it's a cruise on. I'm like, man, it doesn't look like it. Maybe you're right. And also I know the used to be the Alexis out of Seaforth.
It's a smaller boat.
But also a cruise on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the other sister ship to New Loan is up in Alaska somewhere. I've never seen it, but I'd like to check it out.
Does it have the small wheelhouse?
I'm not sure. I think that was an afterthought in the 70s, the wheelhouse.
Oh,
so
really?
It used to be the
open flybridge.
Well, it used to be the cruise quarters, which is currently now the cruise quarters, was the wheelhouse back then.
Really?
So you could almost kind of see the outline of the windows.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And so when Don Sansom, who's a pretty tall guy, owned the boat, was it...
I think there was no wheelhouse.
It was just open. Yeah.
Might have to ask Brian Kihara or one of those guys.
I'll have to ask Don.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. See him at Pearson Fuel once in a while.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Or Buzz would be a good guy.
Buzz would know. Yeah, for sure. It's pretty interesting, though. And you know, back in the day when I was young and fishing the islands, right, there was a lot of squid at the Coronado Islands. I'm just wondering if we'll ever see that again because of that Tijuana River.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
It's possible.
Like they were talking when you were talking to Jim Hughes last week. It's
right.
Not so much of as like a how do you say it? Sorry, but it changes every year.
Yeah, the cycles.
The cycles. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cycles.
Yeah, and it's less of a cycle, I think, and just what happens
we'll
to
see
be
what
happening.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it could definitely happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're seeing that cycle change come back because we're starting to see, you know, the bonita back, the barracuda back,
yes.
Brown bait, inshore. You're seeing that cycle change from sardine to anchovy. Who knows what will happen if the prediction is right on this El Nino, if it switches back. We've had salmon coming down the coast this year because of the storms and stuff. We got the upwellings of the kelps coming back. But I remember early 2000s, 20 years ago, where we were fishing three-quarter day trips against the Coronado Island. It was an all-day barracuda fest on the South Island, just throwing right against it, right? I mean, those trips were phenomenal. And you had 70 people on a boat back then throwing jigs. It was crazy.
You imagine a bunch of squid coming into the Coronado Islands and getting near those pens. Watch out, man.
Might get wild.
It'd be a frenzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, would it. So we got another text coming in. Lisa from San Dimas. I would like to take my dad out on a trip, but I've got to worry about his health, and it's the most important to me. Just curious, are we able to accommodate diabetics on the boat? Mostly concerned about keeping his insulin refrigerated.
Yeah, that's no problem. Yeah, we get quite a few guys who will hand over the cook their insulin or you know, if they have a CPAP or something like that. Yeah, no problem.
Perfect. And then we got another one, Jeff in Mission Viejo. Great show. I've fished in the New Loan for 20 years. Adam, how did you get your start on the sport fishing?
You know, I started in 2011 on the Eclipse out of Seaforth, which is now Tomahawk. Yeah, started working there, and I was there till I ran the boat for 6 years. And then I started with Marcus over here in 2017, kind of in the middle of the season. And been there since.
Been there ever since.
Yep.
And now you're part owner.
Yes, sir.
And soon to be all owner.
That's the tentative
plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you, man. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, John in Whittier has a great text here, and he wants to know about fish and dolphin schools. It's like he's fished dolphin schools but never had any luck. And what's the best way to approach and fish a dolphin school?
You know, fishing next to a lot of mammals, a lot of times you have to be kind of careful. A lot of guys will, I think, make the mistake of just going head on right into them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to kind of get to know them a little bit. See which way they're booking. A lot of times, if they're holding fish, they're on like kind of a one-way path. Other times when you see them scattered, maybe there's bait and stuff, usually you can usually tell by a certain way that the mammals are acting, if they're holding or not, even from a distance. So.
Yeah, I remember back in the early 2000s on a private boat side, we were between whales and dolphin schools, we were finding the yellowfin tuna under them, and there was a very specific technique to be able to slide in, not scatter them, and then you could sonar them and whether or not they were under there, or pull up next to a whale slowly. They're curious, so you don't want them breaching next to you, but we would find schools of tuna under them.
Yeah, sometimes.
Quite locally here.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
No.
Yeah.
No, not all the time.
How do you know? Can you tell when there's tuna under a dolphin school?
Usually from looking at them in the binoculars, from a distance. A lot of times you can tell.
The way they're acting?
Yes.
Like how?
They kind of do the side slap thing. They're usually tight together. If they're all spread out, a lot of times you won't find. There might be some scatter, but especially like last fall, we were fishing that bigger yellowfin late in the season.
Yeah.
A lot of our fishing was on whales and dolphins.
Wow.
But you had to be kind of careful. We had one time, too, where the orcas scared our dolphins away.
Yeah.
Watched one get smacked by an orca.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Nature action. But it also killed our bite, and we were kind of bummed out.
Yeah, the orcas are tuna aren't going to stick around when the orcas are around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to consume them.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, so tightly bunched, and then they slap it on the side.
Yep.
What about birds? Birds on the...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Yeah, on the dolphins. Yeah. But sometimes there's birds on it, but there's no tuna.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And so what's the best way... I mean, you guys have side-scan sonar. For somebody that doesn't have a side-scan sonar, can't see them, how do you know, do you get in front of the school and then just stop?
I would work my way through from behind the pod.
Okay.
So you kind of try to become one of them.
Ah, okay. Stealthily.
That's how I would approach it.
Okay. Trolling through?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully you get a jig strike.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Lots of good stuff here. And so let's talk about charters on the new line for just a second. You do still have some possible charter dates available. A lot. What percentage of your trips are charters?
And say like 80%.
80% charters.
Yeah, 85% nowadays.
Because people always come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are there ever any spots available on when there's charters? Do you ever post those? Or
every now and then. We were talking to, I think it was John earlier. We'll post it up on the Point Loma website
if we have
a couple openings. Sometimes one of the charter masters will let me know, hey, I got three spots I need to fill. Can we put it up on the website? And so we'll... Keep an eye on the website. As far as open party, we just have the availability early and late, basically.
But you can get on a wait list for any specific trip if you're looking at a certain date?
No.
Not really? Okay.
No. Private charters, unless they decide to open it up.
Yeah. And so if somebody wants a private charter, they call you.
Yes.
And they say, hey, I want one of those dates in October. I want to take the boat for October.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone's booked any of those trips yet.
Yeah.
I just put them up the other day. So
yeah, it's prime time.
If there's 25 open spots, it's available.
Yeah. All right. Very good. You have another good one, huh?
Yeah. Charles in San Juan Capistrano as a skipper. What did you learn this last year, and what will you use in 2026?
Oh, man, I think every day you learn something out there. It's kind of the challenge of it, I think. But expect the unexpected, I guess.
how to jig when you need to, right? How to jive and turn and you know that question that we talked earlier. How do you figure out that game plan to go out? When do you go south? When do you go west? How far do you go? you know, when do you go for broke, right?
Yeah, you gotta commit to it.
Are you really into the charts and looking at the, you know, the
water
chlorophyll,
oh,
water
yeah.
temps?
Oh, yeah.
Are you using the newer charts that go down to temp breaks down deep?
Yeah, the Sea View. Yeah, it works pretty well. I don't have it installed in the boat yet. But
explain that to people that still don't understand that technology's out.
It's called like a 50-meter chart, so you can see what's under the surface as deep as 50 meters or 25 and 50. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you can see a break or something, and that's where we end up fishing a lot
out.
Of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Yeah, cause they,
Which
they
side
move.
Of a temp break do you normally fish?
It depends. I think on time of the year and conditions. Sometimes they're on the cold side. Sometimes they're in the green water.
Yeah. So you just troll through it until you find them?
They are where you find them, I think. Especially bluefin, you just never you never know.
You never know. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. It's no matter how much electronics we have, it's still pretty much a guess out there. And
yeah.
It's an art, not a science, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, when we come back, we're going to have lots more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We'll have more great text and more with Adam. Stay tuned. Let's Talk Hookup on Facebook, YouTube Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
This President's Day, your San Diego County Ford dealers proudly salute you during the Ford President's Day Sell-A-Thon. Right now, get limited-time deals across Ford's award-winning lineup. The lineup features the versatile Ford Bronco Sport and the rugged Ford Bronco, built for every adventure, the capable Ford Explorer, and even the iconic Ford Mustang. It's your chance to save. Find the perfect Ford SUV designed with the power and utility you need now during the President's Day Sell-A-Thon. Everything ends February 16th, so don't wait. Hurry into your local San Diego County Ford dealers today.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano, and I gotta say, when you're tackling big fish, Shimano Talica.
Can't beat it.
Yeah.
Silky smooth.
Yeah.
Super, super good. And you never feel like you're undergunned with that reel.
Yeah.
Never.
And now with the new Talica A, that 20A, what a machine. Hard to believe that you could improve perfection in a reel, but they did at Shimano. It's pretty amazing. You use those on the boat, right?
Yeah, we use them. A lot of our passengers use them. Are actually, if you rent a heavy rod at Point Loma, it comes with the Talica 25 nowadays.
Talica 25, which nice. Is really, that's a great, great nighttime
great
fishing
night.
Rig,
yep.
right?
Yep.
It's not super heavy. Think about the days when we used to use super heavy stuff, big 50s and stuff like that. Now you use this little 25 that weighs like probably a quarter of what those little 50s. And you can hold it for the day. Check it out, the Talica series, at your local Shimano dealer.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, we're having a great time here in studio. We got Adam from the New Low, and we've been taking your text. Remember, download the app and turn in your text. Do not forget to add in your name and your phone number so you, too, can be one of the lucky callers or texters that will flip a coin at the end and get a two-day trip on the New Low and on any open party trip for 2026.
So, two-day trip on the New Low and what a nice bonus, and thank you for that, Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. Who are your mentors in this business? I mean, you captains always have guys that really kind of took you under their wing and kind of showed you the ropes. Do you have any guys that you would like to name out and call out that have really kind of helped and guided you?
Yeah, for sure. When I first started working on the Eclipse years ago, I think 2011, 2012. Captain Rick Podolak was kind of my main guy I worked under.
That's
when
he
first ran the boat. He used to run the Holiday when it was
right.
here.
Right, yeah.
For years. And
Ben Griffith, yeah.
Yep. He's doing whale watching now for Adventure Rib. So he's not really sport fishing anymore, but I still keep in touch with him. We were actually roommates for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
And learned a lot from the guy.
Oh,
so,
that's
for
good.
Sure.
Yeah, Rick Podolak. Yeah, it's a name you don't hear in sport fishing anymore.
No, nope, not really. But
a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been around for years and learned a lot
that's
over the
cool.
years, for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, you learn anything from Marcus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marcus's been around.
He's the guy you'd want to call if... you know, you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Phone a friend. That, yeah. You can call Marcus.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Because he knows a lot. I fished with him back in the day on the Royal Star.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, he was just like the deckhand extraordinaire back then.
Oh, for sure.
He's been around, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's still fishing. He does a lot. He's, like you say, he's the guy that you call on a, I think that's a good way to put it, because he knows a lot of stuff.
The question earlier about the bluefin tagging, he would have sat here and talked about it.
Told all about it.
I was going to say, he helps us a lot. He provides insight and knowledge when we are working through regulation issues or working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife or, you know, Fish and Game Commission and stuff.
Yeah.
He's been valuable
to us. Member of the
tax
board. And yeah, he's give it to the guy. He's busy.
Yeah, keeps busy, definitely. All right, you have a good one, I'm Wayne.
Steve from Escondido. I was wondering if Captain Adam has any superstitions or good luck traditions he follows. I always get on and off the boat on the starboard side while wearing my lucky fishing hat or shirt, and a hook that caught the last trophy fish is, you know, things like that. What do you say? come on.
Every now and then I'll change my socks. Got to change something sometimes.
Yeah.
You're driving for hours. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know.
You have a lucky hat?
No.
No. Yeah. All right. Some people do.
Yeah, some people
I do.
Sometimes you got to change something. You know, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a guy that feels that they have that one lucky jig, right?
Right.
And it has no paint on it. It barely, the hooks are not even sharpening, but it's the lucky jig. And sometimes you just go through that. And then you lose it. You're like, oh, my God, I'm done. I can't fish anymore.
Yeah. Broken.
I remember I used to have this Jimmy Buffett T-shirt, and it was my lucky fishing T-shirt. And I just would wear it all the time. I mean, I didn't fish every day, so I did wash it, right? But it became such a rag that a friend of mine just said, man, you just can't wear that shirt anymore, dude. It's like, it's a rag. So I had to give it up, but you know what? I still caught fish after I stopped wearing it. So it was all good.
Well, there's the guys that have that banana superstition still. And I don't know what it is. We were up in Alaska.
That's a fact. Are you kidding me?
I like bananas. You might see one on the New Luan. Don't be offended.
Every long-range boat, right? But you go up to Alaska. I don't know if you've seen that, people. You go up to Alaska. There's a lot of captains up there with that banana superstition.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It's like a religion in Hawaii.
You see that I have a banana sticker on the back of my
phone?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's
Watch
just
out.
For them.
Watch out. Hey, Matt in L.A. Has a question here. He says, if you have the opportunity to fish both yellowfin or bluefin, which one would you head for?
Both.
Both? What
if
you could only fish
both.
One?
Oh,
what if they said, okay,
area.
Yellowfin or this area, bluefin or in this area? Where are you going to go?
Oh, man.
How do you?
Depends on the size.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can't really pass up 100-pound bluefin biting. Yellowfin fishing is a lot of fun, a little more. Oftentimes, you know, they'll bite a little bit better. Stay by the boat.
You can chum them up.
Yeah. But if they're small ones, it doesn't really
do it for me.
Is
that question of quantity or quality?
Yeah. I mean, it depends if they're 8-pound yellowfin or 30-pound yellowfin.
Same with the bluefin, though, right?
Yep,
I mean,
you've
got those schooly bluefin. You're like, do we want to really go on with those? You know, because they're so fickle, and then you're chasing them all day, right?
Yep. Try to make the best choice to get everyone a nice bag of fish. So.
Well, that's the thing, is that you guys have the knowledge and the connections when other people are fishing. You're going to know before you leave the dock what's going on.
Usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, it changes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially if you're on a longer trip.
Yeah.
It'll change.
Yeah. Aerials will change.
Sometimes.
Conditions will change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you scratch your head and go, now what?
Yep. Last year, I think in October, I made a 130-mile move.
Oh!
In the middle of a trip.
Oh, really?
But it paid off.
It paid off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tell us about that.
Get lucky.
So what happened? tell us about that.
I was one of our charters from Washington. And they come every year with us, and we ended up down the beach, kind of outside San Quintin from Cortez Bank. So it was quite the move. But we did really well on yellowfin.
Bluefin just wasn't biting that much at the Cortez, so you just made the big move.
We were seeing some, but they were being bluefin.
They were being bluefin.
Yes.
And so when you made the move, it was biting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We did good.
And
yeah.
And you just got that from some of the other boats in the area that said, hey, they're biting.
Yep.
100 and how, Mitch?
I'm sorry? 130
miles. 130
miles.
Yeah. So that took you...
We were on a three-day trip.
Half a day.
Yeah, we were on a longer...
13 hours.
13 hours, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a major move on a three-day.
It is.
That's close to half a day.
Talk about out of position.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's one of those...
Hopefully it's the overnight run, too, right? Not during the day.
It was, luckily.
Yeah,
so.
So it's not so bad because they can all get some sleep. If it's during the day, then you're like... Oh, man, they're all awake. They're in the galley and on the deck.
We can make it by sunup. All right, we're going for
right.
it.
Going for it.
No problem.
Wayne?
Yeah, we got another one. Here's a good one from Bill in San Diego. Can Adam talk a little more about the boat, the fish care, and can you talk about the bunks and accommodation for tall anglers 6'5" and more?
Ah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So we do have a couple double-wide bunks for the tall guys. Might have to sleep a little sideways. But I'd say, honestly, not a very tall man's boat, unfortunately.
Yeah, going down in the bunk room, you're going to hit your head.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
As far as the fish processing goes, on the boat, bring the fish over, we spike them right away, and then within a couple minutes, the guys are gilling, gutting. They go right down the fish hold. We have three different fish holds, so it kind of depends how full it is or which one it goes into, but we got options of nice cold RSW.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have the processors at the top of the dock when you get back.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And Marcus knows something about processing fish for sure because he owns a processor.
He does.
Yeah. So and taking care of fish because he grew up fishing on the Royal Stars. So
yes. Yes. So I think
from the guys.
We're big on fish quality and making sure the fish isn't all beat up and looking bad when you get back to the dock. So
yeah,
we try to keep that a priority.
Yeah. So then generally speaking, you're back in the morning, so that's when all the processes are there and you can make your choices on the processes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Rory in Lakeside wants to know. If you're on a multi-day trip, 2-3 day trips, which is what you're doing, and you're offshore and you hear of something at Catalina or San Clemente Island that's better. Will you slide in to the beach at those islands and fish some fish?
Occasionally, we end up at Clemente sometimes for bait making. Or this last year we were fishing Clemente a little bit as a afterthought after we had our number of fish that we needed for the trip. We'd do that for our last morning or something. We'd try for yellowtail in the cove or somewhere around Clemente, but usually not Catalina.
Yeah,
it's just a little farther out of the way.
Right.
You're
an offshore boat.
Yeah, we're an offshore boat, so we try to stick with that first and then go from there.
All right.
Yeah, we got Daniel from Santa Barbara going, good morning, gents. Great show. Glad to see that Adam is on the show. Caught my largest bluefin on the new Loanne. What projects are you doing on the boat this year?
Oh, in the boatyard. Yeah, we're not doing anything too crazy, but it's a 60-year-old piece of wood. You could always find something.
That's always something. Is it a plywood boat?
It is.
It is.
Plywood with fiberglass. So this year we're...
cold molded?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're doing a little bit of fiberglass work, some of it on the bottom, kind of under the fish hold area, which, I think parts of it were still the original fiberglass from 1961, which is pretty impressive.
Wow.
And it's still in pretty good shape. But we kind of ripped some of it off, and we're trying to start fresh, so.
Wow.
We do all of our own fiberglass and woodwork on the boat.
How long are you going to be in the yard?
Probably another week and a half or so, and then we'll be back here at Point Loma.
Yeah. And it's nice that Mission Bay Driscoll is nice because you can do your own work, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's huge. Do it right.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
We've had some practice over the years.
I can imagine.
It's a pretty new boat at this
Marcus
point.
Marcus in there working on it with
you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on there.
We were fiberglassing last night. Yep.
Wow. Hey, Curtin Vista says, Stoked to have Adam on the show. One of my first extended day trips was back in the low end back in 1982 fishing albacore on a trip that caught my first big eye, 85 pounds, only fish sitting on a kelp. I can't say enough about the boat and the operation. Keep up the great work, and let's hope the albies come back. Nice. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate that. All right. So Dan Sampson.
I never met him.
You never met him.
No.
Okay. So, amazing guy, and I don't know how many years he ran the boat or owned the boat, but that's back in the 70s, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So when did the New Luann actually start? That was before Dick Gaidosh, or was it after? It was Dick Gaidosh.
Did it start what?
Who built the boat? Was it Dick Gaidosh?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then I think Dan after that, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. And then
Nick Cates.
And then Nick Cates. Nick Cates ran it for years,
for
right?
years. And then Marcus has had it for almost 15 years now.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Cates had it for decades.
I think about 20 years.
Yeah. I remember back when we first started the show, Nick Cates used to come to the show with Nick Cates' New Luann. Yeah. Back in the day.
Right.
That was back when Ralph Botticelli was running the Daily Devil.
Yeah.
Really dating myself.
I was just going to say. I don't think he was born yet.
Yeah, I, in fact, I know he probably wasn't born yet. Well, no, he's 40 years old. He was born. I mean, we're 34 years old here on the Let's Talk Cook Up guy. So he was around. He probably just wasn't hanging onto a rod and reel yet.
Right.
Where did you grow up?
Here in San Diego.
Okay.
I actually live up in Escondido, where I've lived since I was a kid.
Okay.
Same place. So.
All right. Same spot.
Yep.
That's cool. Wayne?
Here's an interesting one. We got Doug from Ramona asking, Adam, if you were fishing the Cortez, would you drop on the anchor, your anchor on the deep side and then back into the high spot, or would you be on the high spot and back into the shallower spot? How would you handle that on your anchoring at the Cortez?
It depends a lot of the times which way the current's going.
Yeah.
At least on the high spot, if we're fishing for yellowtail, you're always kind of trying to bait the shallow. So sometimes, too, out at the banks, you'll have a kind of westerly current. You're kind of hoping for a down and in current most of the time, fishing Cortez or Tanner, both, especially if you're fishing for yellowtail. But we did have some pretty good yellowtail fishing this fall, and we were up. There was westerly current, and we were sitting deep, so we were. It was kind of odd. It was backwards. Let's say.
Yeah, that's backwards. Exactly.
It was backwards, but one of those things where expect the unexpected, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You mentioned earlier about the boat being a great drifting boat.
It is.
Great. So explain that to our listeners.
Okay, so the New Luann drifts bow first.
Bow first.
It's a lot different than, I'd say, 90%
right.
of the fleet. Most guys drift stern first or kind of side to side, so we're almost kind of quartering the waves when we're drifting.
Oh.
So if it's rough, where a lot of guys hate to stop the boat when it's choppy, we're kind of like, please stop the boat because we can drift really, really well. So
interesting. So, yeah, you think about it. So the bow isn't necessarily the best place to fish on the New Luann.
It actually is.
It is?
Yes.
Even though it's
great, yeah.
Drifting bow first.
A lot of times I'm running up there with my shoulder hooked bait.
Why is that?
It depends which side you're drifting on, honestly,
sure.
But you're wanting to get to the chum line eventually. A lot of times the fish, I think, get pushed up to the bow because of how the bait, when you're throwing bait, I think a lot of it ends up in the bow. Even though we're drifting bow first, I think they're trying to double back.
They're trying to hide.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of bait.
So we get a lot of boils in the bow.
Okay.
And on the stern. So.
Oh, you just gave the secret out. Everybody's going to be up there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, both bow, but drifting stern first, I mean, you're going to get a lot of boil in the stern, too.
You will.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing on the New Luann because the bow is actually still kind of the place.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Even though we're drifting bow first.
And you just
that
gave it away.
Wild.
Gave it away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm up there by myself trying to
So what is the makeup of the boat that is so different from other boats that normally...
I think just because it sits so low, we have really big props and big rudders and a big keel. So it's just the happy place for the boat. It likes to drift with the bow
that way.
With the bow pointed first. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of interesting, especially sometimes if we're sharing a school with another boat, because they'll try to come or we'll try to set it up to where you know, I'm stern and they're...
Yeah, and they're foul.
Yeah, it's a little
different.
They
look at you like, what are you doing? You're backwards.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm backwards.
Exactly.
But you know your boat.
Yeah.
You got to know your boat. So that is an interesting dynamic. So what if people don't, like the guy that you're going to share a school with goes, hey, what are you doing, man? It's like, well, remember, we
go the other way. So yeah.
Well, that's
kind of
interesting,
too,
if you have a relief captain come on because they're so used to setting up a certain way for 90% of the fleet.
Right.
And they get on your boat and it's like, what's going on here? This is backwards. This is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually don't have someone from too far away.
Yeah.
So they know.
So we got Cameron in Mission Valley. He's asking, great show, Captain. It's clearly a list of the best in the San Diego fleet. Question is about the new Loan and kite fishing for trophies. And it's not your turn on the kite rotation. What is the best way for a passenger to get bit on one of those big ones in that scenario? Sinker rig, flyers, sardines, personal balloon, backpack rig. Thanks.
So, because we're so limited on time, usually when we're kite fishing, you know, we're not on an 18-day or we don't do a numbered rotation. We just kind of do a random draw. So if we get a kite bite, we pull a random number, so you always have the chance to be called.
To get you guys are setting up the rig and managing it until it gets bit.
Yes.
Got it.
So it's random.
So in the meantime, keep fishing. Keep your sinker rig down there. I think sinker rig flying fish is a great option. Even fly line frozen flying fish.
Sinker rig flying fish.
Yeah, why not?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Put it down there, huh?
Sure.
Wow. And how would you rig that?
Some guys actually put the sinker inside the flyer.
Okay.
Some guys do the regular old rubber band or even the drop shot I've seen work also. Same thing.
Bring your own flyers.
You could.
Yeah.
Are you still using the two hook with the treble in the back?
No, just one.
A single hook?
One circle, big circle hook.
Up through the nose?
Up through the nose, 9-0.
9-0. And so what's your preferred way? Sinker in the mouth or sinker on the line?
I think fly line.
Fly line?
Yeah.
With the sinker in the mouth?
No.
No, sinker at all.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll...
Just straight fly line.
We'll fish one on the slide with like 130-pound fluoro. Just on the slide. And drop it back and you get a...
Fully rigged, like with the wings out?
Yeah, with the wings partially out and just the circle hook.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about the backpack rig? You fish that?
I usually don't. I don't think you need to.
Because the fly line works.
Fly line works.
Oh.
But what about using a small balloon to get it away?
I can't tell all this.
Yeah.
What about using a small balloon to get it away a little faster? Because if they're on the outside edge, you got to get it out so far.
The small balloon, not a super big fan. I'd say if anything, bring your own balloon.
Yeah.
Fly it out on the downwind side next to our kite bait. It's probably a good option.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. Bring your own helium, bring your own balloon.
We have a lot of guys who do.
Yeah? Do you?
Oh, yeah.
So talk about your charters. You have some charters that are 12 people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And just like corporate groups or?
No, this is, a lot of them are just friend groups, fishing groups.
Yeah. They like to fish and...
Yeah, I don't know.
Glam lead load.
Yeah, and one of them, I'd say, is probably one of our favorite groups. We have Bobby Gonzalez and Chris Yamada.
Oh,
are a couple of the guys that come with light loads like that. Kevin Onoguchi also always comes with a light load. But yeah, it's awesome because
they're all good fishermen.
They're all very good fishermen. They're doing their own balloon stuff
and
flying fish stuff while we're doing it also. So
yeah,
if we're on the big ones, look out.
With guys like that, you're probably learning some pretty cool tricks.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Every day.
Yep.
Yeah. Learning some new stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Yamada, I mean, bringing out all the new CalStar
stuff. Yeah, he's an assassin.
Yeah.
For sure.
He is. Yeah, fishing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. So if somebody was listening and said, hey, I want to charter that boat in October for 12 people. I have 12 buddies that we could get together.
You could. I'd have to look.
Yeah. But...
Look in October.
Yeah,
I think there's no reservations yet on those
two trips.
Yes.
Until the show's finished here. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you have another good one, huh, Wayne?
Yeah, there was trust me, there's 100 texts coming through.
The texts are,
they're just flying in right now. I got to tell you, there's no shortage of kudos to Captain Adam and the crew.
Yeah,
just all out there. There was kind of a common theme out there, and they're asking, you know, with all the rising costs going on, what are you guys forecasting, like on fuel costs and surcharges and things like that?
We've been trying to stay away from charging a fuel surcharge. I think if it's over $5, we kind of put it in our contract this year. If it's over $5 a gallon, we have to charge something.
Because that's what you guys forecasted.
So far we're okay.
So far.
Keep it that way. Diesel's more expensive than gasoline now.
Hard it to is. Believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, thank you, Gavin Newsless, or you, Newsom, I mean.
luckily, we get to use the red dye diesel, so it's a little cheaper for us over here at Harbor Island. But,
for sure.
It's still expensive.
Yeah, definitely. But as long as it stays under $5, you're good.
Yeah.
Hey, and when we come back, we're going to find out who won this great prize package on the new low end, the two-day trip, going out on any open party in 2026. We're gonna have Let's Talk Hookup on your way with Adam and the Facebook app and YouTube Live.
This is Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. In 1983, a group of intrepid anglers envisioned crafting the best sunglasses on the water. It's true now as it was then. Costa's performance frames excel in the toughest of elements. These styles are packed with functional features that create a competitive advantage for any adventure on the water. From the lake to offshore, Costa's Performance Collection has a legacy of helping anglers stay on the water longer. Learn more at CostaDelMar.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Asset, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen. For fishermen in Mission Bay.
I believe there is no doubt that the finest sport fishing in the world starts right here in San Diego. This is Captain Frank Lopresti. Our fleet of long-range boats and crew are unmatched, and the Royal Polaris and Shogun are right at the top of the list. Captain Jonathan Yamati and his crew aboard the Royal Polaris are considered to be the finest long-range vessel in the world. From summer bluefin, yellowtail, and wahoo to giant yellowfin tuna, our record is unmatched. The Shogun, under the direction of Captain Rene Montegudo, has become one of the most popular long-range boats in the fleet. This big, wide, solid riding vessel has gained a reputation for catching fish and treating their customers to an epic vacation on the water. I am so proud of Jonathan, Rene, and the crews on both the Royal Polaris and Shogun, as they have helped me keep the reputation of the premier vessels in the long-range fleet. Come see for yourself. Book a trip on the Royal Polaris or Shogun today. Check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com. Or ShogunSportFishing.com or call Monica or Jen in the office at 619-226-8030.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me, book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Boy, we're going to have somebody's going to win a great prize tonight. We got that one lucky caller in Texas is going to win that two-day trip on the new low end.
All right.
Adam's going to flip the coin. And look at that. It's a texter. Wow. Hey, Lisa O from San Dimas, congratulations. You just won that two-day trip on the new low end.
I would call Adam right away and get get booked because the boat sells out, right?
It does.
Yeah, and so that's another thing. Get right on it. How do we get a hold of you, Adam, if we want to book a charter or we want to book a trip? What's the best way to do it?
Call me directly. 760-855-0969 is my direct number.
All right, one more time.
760-855-0969.
And then if somebody wants to book a trip, one of your open party trips on the boat,
They can just call the landing, 619-223-1627. But like for Lisa, just have her call.
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody's listening and they didn't win, they want to go on a two-day trip with you that's open up, PointLomaSportFishing.com.
Yes,
go online, search for the new Loanne, but do it soon because the boat sells out quick.
Yes, it does.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming in. And
thanks
to Marcus for bringing a great guy on as a partner, for sure. That's great. And, hey, thanks, Wayne. Appreciate you being here tomorrow.
Thanks, Wayne.
Tomorrow, Corey and myself will be here as Ricky's still recovering from his cold. Going to be a great show with Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Adam for all he does and Kyle at the fan. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9, back here, YouTube, Facebook Live, Let's Talk Hookup app, and 97.3 The Fan.